WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
And a happy new year to all. Welcome to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of October 2nd and 3rd in the parallel universe of Rack and Fin Radio. When the season opens, indeed calls for a happy new year. The wonderful month of October. Opening of the statewide archery deer season. I know. Some areas, north, central, and check it out on my blog, north, central, and south, were hit by EHD. A deer died in different areas of the state, but on the overall, still plenty of whitetails out there. We're seeing racks on public land, especially. Also, speaking of public land, just a reminder, actually it started last night for today and for October 9th, 16th, and 23rd. Division of Fish and Wildlife will be stocking 11 management areas with chuckers as part of the dog. All these areas have beautiful dog training spots. Here's your opportunity. Get that pup, get that seasoned veteran dog out there, fired up for the pheasant season. Pheasant stock is going to be happening pretty soon. In the Rack and Fin Radio listening area, central region, Assapink, Collier's Mills, Manasquan, Stafford, Forge, wildlife management areas, and in the south, Glassboro, Millville, and Tuckahoe will be receiving chuckers. Go to njfishandwildlife.com for some more information. Hey, man, it's tournament time. We have a really jammed show. Have to be quick on us. It's tournament time. It's the LBI Surf Classic. It's going to be starting pretty soon. It's a really intriguing tournament at Seaside Park. Listen to me, surf tournament. Next, October 10th. Up there in the beaches of Seaside Park, American Angler Classic. I've been seeing that now for a couple of years. American Angler Classic. It's turning into, if it's not already, the premier tournament organizer in the state. Joining us online right now is the, I guess, owner, president, head guy of American Angler, is Carl Hartman. Carl, how's it going?
Excellent. How you doing, Tom?
I don't know how many hats you wear with this American Angler thing, little bit. I mean, you're the fundraiser. You get all the sponsors lined up. Do you have 10 heads or what, Hartman?
Yeah, I got a lot of opportunities to do a lot of things, and I wear a lot of hats. That's for sure.
Well, Carl, tell us about this. What's this American Classic tournament up there next week all about? Listen to me. Let me interrupt you.
Okay.
Listen, on his tournaments, he gets guys and gals from all over the state, whether it's in Cape May or whether it's LBI or Seaside. Carl, you attract surf aficionados from all corners of the state, man.
Well, we get them from Boston. We get them from PA. We get them from Maryland. We get them from all around, everywhere. That comes along. Yeah, it's pretty cool. We're pretty much on the East Coast these days.
Okay, so go into this tournament coming up next week. What do you got?
Well, what it is the American Angler Tournament is a big tournament where we have about maybe a couple hundred anglers, and we take over the beaches over in Seaside Park. And what we do is that we have this one-day tournament where we have 4x4 access, and we fish for the biggest fish, which could be anything from a bass to a weak fish to a blue, et cetera. Even kingfish are in there.
Mm-hmm.
You're allowed to use two poles, all right? And there's some fantastic prizes going out, and especially for the kids. The kids have got some really good stuff going on.
Beautiful.
But, I mean, the prizes are all together. The prizes are like well over $5,000. And
whoa.
It's just a one-day event, one big day event, and we just try to do it the right way, bring people onto the beach, show them a little bit about recreational fishing. And it's just, something that's very good.
But
very
bro, good. How do people get involved? Is it too late to sign up? What's the dealio, bro? Go.
Absolutely not. You can go to AmericanAnglerUS.com or contact me directly or through Facebook on American Angler. They can reach out to me if they want to register up until the last minute through Venmo, PayPal, or cash, or whatever. We figure it out. People can get registered right up to the very last minute. I'm going to be located at Brighton Ave the morning of, with a table set up for anybody who wants to get in last minute. But right now, we have well over 100 people signed up. And we're doing some fantastic attendance for this event.
Well, Carl, go into it. I know the industry. I know alligator arms, short arms, not deep, very shallow pockets. How do you line up and commit all these great sponsors? List some of those guys, please.
Well, absolutely. Some of them are some top-end ones. We got Porter Rod. We have Century Rod. We have Stop and Shop, Betty and Nick's. Hook House, Grumpy's Bait and Tackle, Gabrielson Bait and Tackle, Muller Insurance, you name it. We've got so many. Fireplaces Plus, and a few new ones. Lester Glenn just signed on a little while ago.
The dealership? So the car store? Get out of here! Woo!
Yeah, they're throwing in a Van Stahl reel for the largest striped bass caught that day.
That, Carl, that,
which is basically $600, you know?
So. Okay, Carl, before I let you go, we have a shout out to Paul Carner, who will be competing in this tournament. It was in a tournament last weekend. I call it Check It Out or the Checkmate. He is the check angler. So, Carl, you have a great tournament next week. Good luck. Maybe I'll see you up there. Again, go into your sponsors one more time. That was an impressive list. Go.
Yeah, no problem. Century Rod, Casa Del Mar, Betty and Nick's, Hook House, Bait and Tackle, Grumpy's, Gabrielson, Stop and Shop, Border Rod, Muller Insurance, Fireplaces Plus, and again, Lester Glenn, big sponsor.
Listen,
with a band stall reel.
October 10th, the beach is a seaside park. I'll give that website, please, or Facebook page. Go.
Yeah, no problem. www.AmericanAnglerUS.com, and our Facebook page is American Angler, period. That's it. Come and join us.
Hey, Hartman, when do you sleep, man? When do you sleep?
When do I sleep? I
don't know. We'll see you, Carl. Take care, man. Bye-bye.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM, South Jersey's talk station. Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Okay, state of flux right now with the saltwater fishing season. Tog still open, one fish, and that's going to be until November 16th when the limit will jump up again. You have some porgies showing up. Striped bass in the back and inlets are really percolating. The water's getting cooler. A lot of stuff happening. Some rumors about the gray sea trout showing up. You know, the steelies, they call them. They're supposed to be in the back. You still have sheephead around. You still have a lot of triggerfish around. But all eyes are on the calendar for October 8th, next Friday, when the sea bass season reopens and the limit goes back to 10 fish at 12.5 inches. And let me tell you something. We have, from the reports I'm getting from the party boat guys and some private anglers, the reefs are loaded. Are loaded with sea bass. They have been for the past, I guess, month or so. A couple of guys, Tom P, we could have had a boat limit of sea bass at 10 fish. Okay? But, again, had to go back. There is a reason for that in a management plan of things. But back to the reef system. We have the best reef system, I say, in the coastal United States, if not the planet. And my next guest, patiently waiting on the line, will definitely agree with that and say it's probably even better than that. We have reefs here that are going to be loaded with sea bass, going to offer top-notch fishing for one of the best-tasting fish in the ocean. Joining us on the line right now is Peter Clark, fisheries biologist, Bureau of Marine Fisheries, and he is head of the Artificial Reef Project, a high-octane guy who just is proud of his reefs. Like he's, I think he's like they're like his second family. Pete, how you doing, man?
I'm excellent, Tom. Thanks. Thanks for having me today.
You're more than welcome, Pete. I called you last week. I'm wired, fired, otherwise inspired for this reopening of the sea bass season. Dropping reel fishing, it looks like, Pete. Then the reefs are packed with sea bass, most of the reefs anyway, from the reports I'm getting. How does it look on your end?
Yeah, I mean, what's not to be excited about? Black sea bass, it's the cornerstone, right? It starts us off in the spring. We get 10 fish, 12 and a half inches when we open up in May, banging away at them in the spring. We get through the summer with fluke and then right back to sea bass again, October 8th. I mean, you're exactly right, Tom. These reefs are absolutely loaded with sea bass right now. You know, as you know, sea bass have a pretty extensive range from Maine all the way down to the Florida Keys, but they concentrate from Massachusetts to Virginia. And of course, right in the middle of that is the state of New Jersey, the beautiful Garden State.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do in the summertime is they come in and they live in 120 feet of water or less, okay? And that is right in the sweet spot for New Jersey's reef systems.
Oh, yeah.
So before these things start vacating and going back offshore in the wintertime, back into 200 feet, 180, 200, you know, and sometimes much greater than that,
yep.
It's time to get on the reefs. It's time to start banging away at these things, you know? One of my favorite fishes to catch, for sure. They're awesome.
They are a lot of fun. Listen, the season's going to run till October 31st, and then from November 1st to December 31st, it's going to jump to 15 fish at 13 inches, rather. But here's the thing. Yeah. That's when they are moved off, pretty much. That's, as Pete just said, that's basically the deep water fishing. Right now, it looks like, Pete, we have upcoming 22 days of rod and reel drop and catch mayhem, man. And I'm getting too crazy. Pete, here's my situation. Which reef do I pick? I mean, well, there are a lot of them, man.
Listen, so, you know, I want to talk to you about three of, I love all the reefs. Come on, let's be honest. All 17 of our reefs are absolutely outstanding. But, you know, we've been doing some really exciting work on a couple of reefs right near between Barnegat Inlet and Little Egg. And, you know, the Garden State North, the Garden State South, and the Little Egg Inlet Reef. You know, these all three of these reefs are really inundated with black sea bass right now. But, you know, I'd like to talk a little. Sea bass are really, they're a really cool animal, all right? And, you know, I've talked to you about this before. They have a really interesting strategy for survival. And it's not uncommon for reef fishes to do this, but, you know, it's not a lot of fish off the coast of New Jersey do this. And so they're protigenous hermaphrodites, which means that they all start life as a female, and then they become, as they sexually mature around 9 to 13 inches or 2 to 5 years of age, they transition to, some of them will transition, about 35% will transition to males.
Whoa.
And here's the cool part, right? So, I mean, if that's not cool enough, you know, we always talk about these, you know, those big blue and the how they're purple, especially in the
right.
fall. And the, you know, I mean, just these gorgeous colors of fish. And what that is those are the dominant males. When a male in the school is a dominant male, it gets that huge hump on its head.
The knucklehead.
Yeah, the big knucklehead. Those are the dominants. And, you know, when you remove, and there's several other males that are subordinates, but if you remove a dominant male, then one of the other males will take its place after you remove it from that school. And, boy, I'll tell you what, you know, these things, they're designed to eat, right? They've got huge mouths. You know, a lot, you'll find little lobsters in there.
Yeah, yeah.
All sorts of stuff, crabs, shrimp, you know, small fish, everything under the sun. They are going for it. And that's what they're very aggressive. And that's what makes them such a fun fish to target on our reefs. You drop a high low rig down, man, a little clam, some squid on that thing. It's just like you said, drop and reel fishing one over the other, over the rail and into the pail, baby. And you know, as these move offshore, Tom, that's when those jiggers come out. You start dropping some metal down on these things, and get that stick reaction bite, you know, on some of our deeper water reefs, like deep water. And, you know, up north, we've got the Shark River. But mm-hmm. I think, you know, that deep water reef that's a sick reef out there off the coast of New Jersey. So, yeah, man.
Pete, speaking about the aggressiveness of the sea bass feeding, you know, again, we caught them with, you know, the little crabs or whatever in them. One time we hit a pod, this was several years ago, three or four fish came over. Pete, they were spitting up little squid, little whole squid. I never saw that before.
Oh, totally. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, you'll see that. Whatever's available, right? So whatever prey item is in highest availability, that's what those things are going after, you know? And we've had some good squid years in the past couple of years here, so... Yeah, not surprising at all to see that.
Pete, numbers of the resource, the stock, is it in good shape, super good shape? You know, you hear things about it's been rebuilt over 200%, all these numbers coming at you. Is the resource itself healthy enough? Because it's going to get slammed. That 22-day period till October 31st, till November 1st, it's going to be balls-to-the-wall fishing for them. They can absorb that, correct?
Yeah, you know what? So you're absolutely right. And the question is, are they in good shape? Now, let me back up a minute. So in 2019, we did an operational stock assessment, which means we took new updated data, just numbers, and put it through an existing model. And in both cases, as you know, Tom, there's two stocks of black sea bass. There's a mid-Atlantic and a South Atlantic stock, okay?
Mm-hmm, right.
And in that 2019 operational assessment, it was defined that both stocks were not overfished and neither were experiencing overfishing. And you just said it. In fact, the stock is doing so well that the spawning stock biomass, which is, you know, just that, it's the number of fish that can produce new fish for the population, is 230% of the target. Okay.
So that's a big
I would almost venture to say that there's no end in sight for the conveyor belt of black sea bass coming into the fishery. It's fantastic. Well, just that's the simplest way to say it.
Okay, join us on the line is Peter Clark, fisheries biologist, Bureau of Marine Fisheries. He's head of the Artificial Reef Project. We're talking sea bass season reopens October 8th. It's going to run to the 31st and reopen again in November, run to the end of December. But, Pete, which begs the question, and I hear this all the time, and I visit a lot of tackle shops, why isn't the limit increased? If it's rebuilt that strongly, why isn't it increased? I said that's a big management morass that has to get, you know, waded through and whatever. But, Pete, a simple answer to that question. Is there one?
Well, yes and no. So the simple answer is that we need a revamp of our management strategy. And then this is where the details and the long-winded explanation come in. So management it's not instantaneous, especially when we're doing a big revamp like this. So there's a new addendum on the table right now. It's called the Recreational Reform Act. And what we're hoping to do is we're Magnuson-Stevens Act kind of is our guiding document for fisheries. And we're working with National Marine Fisheries Service, the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission, and the Mid-Atlantic Marine Fisheries Council to revamp the way that we not only manage recreational fisheries, but also commercial fisheries, because they're coupled, right? They work together. And, one of the things that we need to be able to do is have a level of flexibility in management. And currently, MSA, Magnuson-Stevens Act, doesn't quite allow us the levels that we'd like to have. So in lieu of that, we are starting a new process that's actually been underway for over 2 years now.
Okay.
And we're getting close. We're hoping in December we'll have a final action from the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission Board, Black Sea Bass Board, where it'll give us some what are called harvest control rules, stating that, under certain scenarios, based on our harvest, we'll be able to liberalize, or we'll have to stay the same, or we'll have to take a slight reduction in some cases, possibly. And it'll give us a better roadmap on how to handle a stock that is at such a high percentage of its target. So, yeah.
Fair enough.
There's your short answer.
There's, fair enough. Hey, Pete, we're up against a hard break. You hang in for another segment, please. I want to talk more about this incredible reef system. I know you have some recent deployments, more deployments coming up. People, grab that cup, grab that Red. We'll be right back with Pete Clark talking sea bass and the artificial reef system in New Jersey, which is second to none on the planet. How's that, Clark?
I like it.
Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
So what is Talk With a Purpose? It's a lively, informative, number one rated talk show on Saturday morning. Hi, this is John DeMasi. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 9 a.m. till noon for Talk With a Purpose, heard right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. And if you miss it on Saturday, we replay it on Sunday from 5 until 8 p.m. Don't miss Talk With a Purpose, Saturday and Sunday, right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
Like Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Welcome back to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. October 2nd and 3rd. That weekend is here already. Where did September go? But again, before we get back to Pete, sorry, Pete, keep you hanging on. But October is like May, the two premier hunting, fishing, outdoor camping, heck, whatever, months on the calendar. But I digress. Let's get back to Pete Clark. He's the fisheries biologist, Bureau of Marine Fisheries, and head of the Artificial Reef Project. Okay, Pete, we can talk down to sea bass. That's good. Let's get to why the bottom fishing, okay, the sea bass, the tog, the fluke, a.k.a. summer flounder, why it's so incredible along the Jersey Shore. A lot of it has to do with the artificial reef system. You inherited the project from Hugh Carberry, who inherited it from Bill Figley, and it's just going gangbusters. And, Pete, I fish Florida, I fish a lot of places. This reef system is kick-ass, little brother.
Yeah, man. You know, I'm often asked, where would you live? I'm an avid angler, as you well know, Tom.
Oh, yeah.
People often ask me, if you could live anywhere, where would it be? And the answer is New Jersey. And the reason is our fishing is second to none. And Bingo. In large part, due to the reef system that we had, these guys, Bill Figley, Hugh Carberry, they dropped in my lap one of the best programs on the planet. And, you know, we've just been rocking and rolling with this thing. We've been doing I think we're up to our 16th deployment for the year right now, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. Pete, that's almost like a football term. Like you picked up the rock and you ran with it, man.
Well, yeah, it wasn't hard to do. Those guys were fantastic. They showed me the way, and I'm just carrying the ball, as you said. We're going into the end zone, baby.
Again, we mentioned Garden State North, Garden State South, Little Egg. I mean, we have the Atlantic City Reef, the Cape May Reef. We've got little sleeper reefs to me, like the Townsend's Inlet Reef, Wildwood Reef. But, Pete, sea bass-wise, what structure do they prefer? I know Tog Love tanks, fluke lug tanks, reef balls, things like that. What did a sea bass naturally, like their preferred structure, what do they gravitate to, in your opinion?
You know what? Anything that's got some good vertical relief. So typically you're looking at rock outcroppings. You're looking at jetties and pilings up in the New England waters. And off of New Jersey, you're looking at our reefs. So any of those higher concrete, any of those higher structures that you can find, you're going to find sea bass absolutely loaded on them. And, I'd like to talk to you about three reefs that are near and dear to my heart. The Garden State North, the Garden State South, and the Little Egg Inlet Reef. You know, three of the greatest reefs. Garden State North and South haven't had material in quite some time. It's been about 10 years since they've gotten a good shot of material.
Wow.
But we just recently have put reef balls down on Garden State South and on Little Egg. We've really been working towards putting material on the middle in the middle of our state. These are reefs that are difficult to get to, proximity-wise from some of our major cities where we get material from. As you know, we use a lot of repurposed material, whether it's an old bridge or an old jetty, an old dock, concrete dock or bulkhead. So finally, we've got some great material going in. The Beach Haven Charter Fishing Association, along with the Sport Fishing Fund, and the Beach Haven Marlin Club, they've really stepped up recently in the last few years and said, you know what, we need material. It's time to get some money put into these reefs, and that's what we're doing. So,
Peter, I want to give a shout out too to that Junior Mates program. These kids are fired up. I run into them every once in a while. Pete, these kids are fired up for the reef system, man.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, absolutely. So, listen, Garden State North, right? You guys are going to be going on to Garden State North. You're going to be looking for those reef balls. Listen, it's 6.5 nautical miles off the beach, right? It's about 66 to 80 feet in depth, 7 miles from Barnegat Inlet, and about 14 miles from Little Egg. It's got 164 deployments, 50 Redbird subway cars, over 500 reef balls, okay? And now the 40 armored personnel carriers and tanks, that's, you want to go looking for those. You want to be looking at the reef balls. 16 ships or barges and over 4,000 tire units. That's where everybody likes the fluke. That's the
tires, right, yeah.
On those tires, And then if we move south into the Garden State South Reef, this is where we just put a new load of reef balls on last week. We got 5 miles off the beach, smaller reef. It's only about 0.6 square miles, 50 to 60 feet in depth about. It's 9 miles from Little Egg, 11 from Barnegat, 93 total deployments. Again, over 500 reef balls, 11 ships and barges, 40 military vehicles, and over 2,000 tire units. So, we're working on it. We're getting there. We're starting to put more stuff on. And then, of course, you've got Little Egg. We've done over 80 deployments on Little Egg, but we've done 5 deployments this year on Little Egg, okay?
Wow.
And what's so cool about Little Egg is it's right off the inlet. It's Little Egg Inlet. It gets, it's got an influence from all that estuarine influence. And I'll tell you what. What a productive reef that. It's 1.5 miles in the area, all right? So it's not tiny. It's got some room on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a great depth range from 50 to 65, 70 feet, close to Little Egg. It's only 5 miles from Little Egg inlet, 9 miles from AC inlet. Just a fantastic little reef. You know, it's got a lot of different deployments on it. Plenty of reef balls. It's got some great ships on it and barges. So yeah, go out and bang away, man. Get those high lows out there and start hitting it.
Okay, Peter. Well, Pete, you know, you mentioned the ships and the barges. I mean, then there was the story of the Radford. That was amazing. But really, it's a super labor-intensive getting these. Don't they have to be cleaned, utmost, spotless, whatever, totally, like, pollutant-free before they're deployed? What goes involved with that?
Yeah, so, you know, Tom, when we get a ship offered to us, it goes through a very intensive process. We have to remove all wiring, all wood, all insulation, any plastic, any windows. All the machinery comes out. All of the tanks are either removed or emptied and cleaned with degreaser and steam to get it down to absolute bare metal. By the time that we put a piece of ship, a barge, a tank on the bottom of the ocean, it is nothing but a metal shell, literally. Absolutely spotless. We get I inspect these items relentlessly over mm-hmm. the course of preparation, and then of course the Coast Guard comes in and they do another inspection.
Wow.
Okay.
Yep. And Pete, one other type of cover we didn't mention, and the reef balls in the ship, but I know you're a fan of it and it produces incredible amounts of, you know, forage, fish, whatever, is those concrete castings and the culverts. That's amazing stuff.
Yeah, that stuff is amazing, and I like it because it's usually free. One of the programs that we haven't done in quite some time was the reef ball program, where we were building 500 reef balls a year. And now just recently, we got back in the reef ball business. We're working with the Aids to Navigation, which is one of the DEP departments. They've got a ship that we're using to deploy reef balls right now. We've got some of the concrete unions in North and South Jersey that are pouring reef balls for us. So
stay tuned. That's incredible. That's great.
all no cost. So we don't have to purchase this stuff. And that's the hardest part, Tom. The New Jersey Reef Program doesn't have funding mm-hmm. to buy its own material. So we are 100% in need of sponsorship, and that's where we come in with the Sport Fishing Fund and groups like the Beach Haven Charter Fishing Association and the different fishing clubs along the coast of New Jersey. Those are really the guys that are building our reef system.
Well, Pete, tell me if I'm a little off base here. Maybe you can't answer this or not, but again, private, a family wants to put a reef ball down. Would that be part of a deployment? Is that possible, or is it strictly from clubs and organizations?
No, that's a good point, Tom. That is 100%, you know, one of the things that we do. We call those the memorial reefs. So if somebody is looking to do a memorial for somebody, they can call me, go on to the NJDFW, Division of Fish and Wildlife website, and go to the reef program, find my contact information, give me a call, and they donate money to one of our nonprofit organizations, and we get a memorial set up. Comes with a plaque and naming of that structure. Yeah,
fantastic. Well, Pete, before I let you go here, it's too exciting. All the hair on my body standing up here when I think about the future of the reef program. Your mind is in a constant state of motion. You have a great crew up there in Naco Creek working on this. Plans for the future. I mean, Delaware Bay has the reef there. That's a work in progress. I get that. Are more reefs planned or expansions of existing reefs? Is that possible in the next couple of years?
Well, so, you know, we're always in a maintenance track, right? So we've got 17 reefs going from Sandy Hook all the way down to Cape May and up into Delaware Bay right now. And we are constantly in a state of maintenance, which means that, for instance, 16 deployments were made this year on five different reefs. We'll continue to do that. As far as expanding our current system from 17 to more than that, that's something that the New Jersey Marine Fisheries Council would have to bring up and take public comment on, and that's the process. Once we receive a tract for new development, then it has to go through a rigorous process with the Army Corps of Engineers and National Marine Fisheries Service to mm-hmm. get clearance to build. So that's always a possibility, but there's nothing directly on in the queue right now to do that.
Okay, Pete. And Pete, one last question. People, you know Tom P is a sandbagger. Pete, is there updated information on the reef system? I know most people, I say go to njfishandwildlife.com, go to Saltwater Fishing Link, then go to Artificial Reef Program Link. But things are, again, more deployments, more things happening. Is there an updated version available or coming out?
Yeah, so Tom, stay tuned. We've got a new updated reef guide coming out with over 1,200 new coordinates.
Woo!
So it's been about 11 years since we've had a guide, and this one will be found on our website. You'll be able to download all of the coordinates for our deployments, so you can put them on a SIM card, download them right into your GPS unit. Our plan right now is to have that done before the end of the year. We're close, man.
Getting it done. Peter Clark, fisheries biologist, Bureau of Marine Fisheries, head of the Artificial Reef Project. Thanks for joining us on Rack of Enlisters. Sea bass season reopens October 8th. It's going to run through the 31st. 10 fish at 12.5 inches. 22 days of mayhem. They're in numbers. They're thickening the hair on my head. Get out there and enjoy. Pete, be safe out there on the water. Hope to see you soon, Ben. And thanks again for the great work.
Thanks, Tom. Have a great day.
We'll see you, brother. Oh, way long on that segment, too. I'll get some break. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. P. Clark, sea bass, artificial reefs. Doesn't get any better than that.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM, South Jersey's talk station.
Fox News, I'm Jill Nato. California is going to be the first state in the U.S. to require COVID vaccines for all children in public or private schools. Governor Gavin Newsom.
We want to get this thing done. We want to end this pandemic. We are all exhausted by it.
Students will have to be vaccinated the semester following full U.S. approval of the shots for their age group. Cybersecurity experts are raising the alarm on China and hack attacks.
The head of the National Security Agency's Cybersecurity Directorate says China's government backs more hackers than the rest of the world combined. And analysts say the hacking has become more aggressive. The Biden administration is working its way through a complicated relationship with China, maintaining tariffs and admonishing China on human rights.
Fox's Rich Edson. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Clear, chilly overnight, low 48. In the Pine Barrens, it'll be closer to 40. Saturday, plenty of sunshine, a warm afternoon, high 76. Clear on Saturday night, not as chilly, low 59. Sunday, partly sunny, warmer, high 82. Monday, variable cloudiness, still warm. There will be a shower or two, high around 80. I'm AccuWeather's Kerr Babinski on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yo, welcome back to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of October 2nd and 3rd. That was Peter Clark, Bureau of Marine Fisheries, Sea Bass, and the Artificial Reef Project, which is going gangbusters. Another thing going gangbusters, Bureau of Freshwater Fisheries, Hackettstown Hatchery up there in Warren County. Some breaking news earlier this week, actually Wednesday and Thursday, a statewide blitz was made, stocking channel cats from 12 inches to 14, and some bombers, the 2.5-year-olds that are 16 to 18 inches. Okay, and we had a big delivery down here in South Jersey. Want to go over some ponds and some lakes and the numbers. Now, these fish are big. They're beautiful. They're sleek. They're like me in a pizzeria. They start to eat immediately, pretty much immediately upon release. And at the 12-inch minimum, these are already ready to catch, put on the stringer, bring home, fillet up, and put in the pan. First, roll them into cornmeal first. Joining us on the line right now is Hackettstown Hatchery Superintendent, Angler Extraordinaire, hell of a deer hunter, if I say so myself. He is pretty good out of Bruins, is Craig Lemon. Craig, thanks for joining us. Great news on the channel, kiddies, brother. How you doing?
Good news up here in the Northland. Lots of catfish. You know, be lots of bobbers going under the water this weekend, and pretty excited.
Let me tell you something. I already put my order in at a couple of Acme's in various points in the South for my chicken livers.
That's
what I'm going to be doing, yeah. Craig. That's what I'm going to be doing from starting this afternoon, right, and especially the first few days of next week. Give these things some time to acclimate. Listen, let's go over some numbers here. In Giampetro Park Pond in Cumberland County, 40 of these fish. Greenwich Lake in Gloucester and Grenlock Lake in Gloucester, 80 and 50 respectively. Oak Pond down there behind the Division Southern Region Office, 50.
Ponder Lodge Pond, the sleeper still, the most beautiful water in South Jersey, down here in the Villas in Cape May County. They got 110. Sylvan Lakes got 50. Heritage Park Pond right there. Shout out to Captain Dave DeRave, Sholin Obsekin. Right there, got 80. And Birch Grove Park here about, let's see, couple of hundred yard walk, if that, from the Rackenfin Radio Studio here at Town Square Media. Birch Grove got 110. Now, these are prime channel cats. They are great on ultralight and light tackle. They fight. They are every man's freshwater game fish. Craig, super job on this, man. Again, this was a surprise. You gave me a call. I said, what? Let's get this on the air.
Yeah. No, it's been a good year. Those fish are like 2 pounds apiece.
Uh-huh.
So they're going to be nice.
And,
yeah,
and yeah. Greg, they eat like crazy through the fall. I mean, we caught them around especially here at Birch Grove, where they have the November stocking for trout Thanksgiving week. I'm using trout magnets. I'm using power bait. We're catching some of these catfish. It's great.
Yeah, everybody thinks the water's got to be 80 degrees to catch those fish, but I've seen guys catch them through the ice.
Yeah, we've done that before, too.
Everybody's got to eat.
Yeah. You know? Well, Craig, the genesis of the catfish program growing in leaps and bounds. You stock thousands upon thousands upon thousands every year. Is the fall the prime time for stocking? Do you do any stocking to channels in the spring?
No, it's a fall deal. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, we started stocking August 10th. So we've been stocking channels for, a month and a half now. And, we just finished up this past week. And, we hit the South Jersey. And a lot of those waters you mentioned actually got the 12-inchers and the 18-inchers.
Oh, you got them mixed.
No, they got them both. So, yeah.
Oh, man. Yep. And listen, again, immediate harvest. You have youngsters or kids because the way the channel cats bite. And, Craig, they're demonic little things. They fight hard. I mean, they put a stock trout to shame.
Oh, yeah. They hit they pull down. That's for sure. You don't see them dancing on the water top, but they'll definitely pull you to the bottom.
Oh, yeah, man. And I call them the rock and roll overs. Sort of like a croc or gator gets you, man. These things get the bait. Yeah, they roll. They try.
Yeah.
And I've had more than, I'd say, easily more than 100 in my lifetime get the lines sawed off from those peck fins with those spikes. They're serrated. Yeah. Beep, and away they go. Well, Craig, now you stock urban waters. You stock suburban waters, and you stock waters in bucolic settings like Lake Aquatunk up in Stokes State Forest. I mean, it's an across-the-board Sussex to Cape May and all points in between program with the channel cats. The overall response from the public, what's it like?
It's growing. Like you said, the program's growing and so is the response. There's catfish clubs. You got the Delaware River Catfish Club and, everybody's getting into it. And it's, like you said, it's ocean to Delaware River from Aquatunk to Ponder Lodge. There's probably about 75 different water bodies in the state to get it all the way from Orange Park Pond, which might be a half an acre to Lake Pack.
Hey, let me tell you about Orange Park Pond, 500 South Center Street. I used to go behind the garden apartments, climb the tree, hop the fence, and I was right there. Walked past the little playground, and I was right there. It's a little kidney-shaped pond. That's where where I learned to catch carp on floating bread. Listeners, you want to catch carp on the surface? Arnold Brick Oven Bread. All the other white bread suck. It's all mushy. Bread. Arnold Brick Oven Bread. Sorry, Craig, I digress. But again, we caught catfish out of that pond 3 and 4 pounds already.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing is you're seeing a lot of fish in that 3 to 5 pound range. Because it's an ongoing program. It's been going probably for 15 years, these bigger fish. So, you're seeing, even in those little ponds, too. It doesn't, you don't have to go to the big lakes to catch big fish.
Now, Craig, let's get to the hatchery scene of things. People, are familiar with, the PeaQuest with the trout, with the raceways, the hat houses and the whole bit. What's involved the channel cats? I mean, they spawn in the ponds. You have spawning kegs for them or something like that. Go from the spawning mass to stocking size. What's involved?
Yeah, June 1st, they start spawning when the water hits like 75 degrees. We put 30-gallon barrels out into the pond, and there's 320 adult fish out there, and once a week, we go into those barrels with chest waders on and, kind of noodle those eggs out of there and bring them in, hatch them out. And, they do spend, like you said, till like 6 inches they spend in the building, and then they go out to ponds.
Mm-hmm.
And the 12 were, year-old fish, and the 18 to 20, some of those fish were 22 inches.
Right.
So, and they're 2.5-year-old fish, but that's one of our, it's one of our big programs. And like I said, it's growing.
Now, Craig, are they on a pellet diet?
They're on pellets from the day that they use up their egg sac at like 1 week old. They stay on pellets the whole time.
Now, Craig, last October,
He gave me the word. Unless I got some, an article somewhere in the blog, whatever. We put out what we call the super cats. Greg, you had a load. Some of these things were up to 30 inches. I saw them, and I have photos. Yeah. A Heritage Park pond outside, Birch Grove Park pond outside, Ponder Lodge. These things, I mean, if a, I don't know, if a duck was on the water, it was gone. I mean, these things were monsters. Yeah, now, is that every few years that you stock those bombers?
Yeah, it's probably every 3 or 4, depending, you know, depending on how things go. But, it's, you know, it's always at least every 4 years, if not every 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
Listen, get out there.
Some of those fish were 12, 15 pounds that they topped out at.
Yeah, I remember the one kid struggling. I said, "But and with the COVID thing, I'm saying 15, got a little sort of a telephoto on it. Can you hold?" He says, "Dude, I'm trying to hold it." Craig, this was over at first. And this thing was kicking his ass.
Oh, yeah.
And he finally got it over the railing. Listeners, Channel Cat stocked this past Wednesday and Thursday. Check it out. Jean Petro Park Pond, Greenwich Lake, Grenlock Lake, Oak Pond, Ponder Lodge Pond, Sylvan Lake, Heritage Park Pond, and Birch Grove Park Pond. 2.5-year-olds. Join us online is Craig Lemon, Superintendent, Hackettstown Hatchery. Again, Craig just told us there's some 12, you know, these are legal fish, 12 inches in there, but the majority are 16 to 18 inches. They bite right off the bat. They fight well and are great in a frying pan. A little bit of a freshwater break before the striper run really gets going, before sea bass season opens. Get out there and enjoy, Craig. That's perfect weather, perfect water temperatures. All hell's going to break loose in Kittydum, man.
Yeah, it was 70. You know, most of those water bodies were in the low 70s, so they should be biting.
This is going to be mayhem, man. Well, Craig, thanks for a great job to you and that super crew. By the way, how is my main man, Ronnie Jacobson?
Ron was on the, he was on a stocking truck all week, so, you know, 80 years old and going strong. He hasn't missed a beat.
Let me tell you something.
You know, he's a dedicated fish guy, that's for sure.
Let me tell you something. I've known Ronnie since, I guess, 1978, 77. Listeners, short guy, nothing big, but I'll tell you, one dedicated, too. Even at 80 years old, I wouldn't want to write cross from him. I only saw him mad once, and let me tell you something, Lemon, it was a pretty picture.
No, he doesn't have an ounce of fat on.
Right. And his presentations, you know, when he would go stock the fish for the urban and suburban, you know, fishing derbies.
Yeah.
How he just, I mean, the people were enthralled. I mean, he had a crowd around. He was really great.
No, he's great with the kids. And every time he's out stocking, he brings bobbers and digests. Yeah. And, you know, last week on my Go Fish Friday thing that I've got going on a division page where he was out at Canty's Pond at Silas Condit up in Kinnelon.
Uh-huh.
And there was a couple kids fishing. He helped them, you know, let the kids stock the catfish. And
how great is that?
With some bobbers. Yeah, that's a little dinky pond, but it's gorgeous. And they actually caught a big bass while he was there. And he snapped a picture of him. We got him up on the website last Friday. So.
That is great. Yeah, listeners, Channel Cat stocked this past Wednesday and Thursday earlier in the week as well. Get out there and enjoy. Craig, we'll see you, man. Hey, you all set for today? You going to be at this afternoon?
Oh, probably. The deer moved big last night.
I said
to myself, I should get out and get in a tree, and I didn't. Looked on my cell cams, and sure enough, they were loaded with deer. So, you know, we got a cold snap weather. It was 43 degrees in North Jersey yesterday morning. So,
okay.
The deer are moving. The acorns have fallen on the ground, and the deer are moving.
Yeah, Craig, take care. Great job on the Channel Cats. Great job on the hybrid stripers. Great job on the Northern Pike. Great job on the walleye. Great job on the muskies. Jesus,
we've got the landlock coming up, too.
We have landlock salmon in New Jersey. Does that kick ass or what? Craig, we'll see you in the woods, man. You take care, brother.
All right. Yep, you guys have a good weekend.
Bye.
If you're wondering what to do with your money in these unusual economic times, or if you have questions about retirement planning, IRAs, 401ks, or taxes, then listen to The Heart of Your Money, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, featuring author and financial expert Joe Yakovich. The Heart of Your Money will focus on you, your family, and your financial portfolio. The Heart of Your Money with Joe Yakovich, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, Talk Radio 95.5. Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, you can get a chance. Pick up the issue. If you don't subscribe, you're crazy. Pick up the October issue of the Fisherman Magazine. Great articles throughout. But notice the cover. Very, very sad and special, but just, hey, the people, this is tough for me. Fred Golifaro, 1952 to 2021. This man's been with the fishermen for, I guess, since its inception. I would meet Fred over the years at ICAST, every once in a while at a writer's meeting. We'd talk on the phone on occasion. Just a very gentle man, a very knowledgeable man, a very loving family man. Always free. You ask him for advice, you ask him for some tips, or just one of the most giving individuals in this fishing profession or in the profession of life that I have ever met. And it was a sad day when I received news of Fred's passing. But I want you to get an idea of who this man was. And I called in Mike Caruso. He is now the owner and publisher president of the Fisherman magazine. And I met Fred my first time, I was in 1981. Mike met him in 1992. Again, but Mike worked with him every day. And I want to get an insight from Mike himself about how special this man really was, whether he is on the beach, whether he's on a, I tell you, I was surprised how good he is with a fly rod catching trout, whether catching bass, or just sitting around giving instruction. He was an incredible human being. Mike, sorry I got a little long there. We don't have much time, but I want you to know how much, when I miss Fred, how much I appreciate Fred, what he's done with me over the years, on occasion here and there, but on the overall, Mike, just how great a guy he was, man.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Tom. Yeah, he truly was an amazing human being. I had the really unique pleasure over the last 30 years to work really right beside him. And I had been reading The Fisherman, even longer than that. I think I was 12 years old when I started reading it. So, yeah, a really unique perspective on Fred. And, he is really amazing, has an amazing legacy, because over the last 40 years, hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of people have read his articles.
Yeah, absolutely,
enormous body of work about fishing through The Fisherman. He also edited and collaborated with many of the writers, many of the contributors, so his touch was ever present through the things we did, he penned thousands of articles, he spoke
at hundreds
of seminars. He's been involved in marine conservation, fisheries management, beach access, fishing access, satellite tagging for striped bass, reef deployment, name it. I mean, his hands were in everything. Now, Fred was the editor of our Long Island edition, and currently was a senior editor. So he was working really closely with Jim Hutchinson and Dave Anderson up in New England. So, those guys were quite a team. And it's really just amazing when you think about all the things he's done. Send a kid fishing. Really cared about people, the fisheries, and to preserve and grow and to enrich people's lives through fishing.
Mike, if I can interrupt you for a second, when he said people, listeners, when Mike just said he cared about people, I remember calling him up and I'd asked him about Montauk, right about the fisheries. I said, "Yeah, Fred, man, I'm going to go up there. I'm going to get, bring this. Got my bait, got this, got my beach, my sand spikes." He said, in his deep baritone voice, Fred had a big teddy bear of a voice, big teddy bear of a man. He says,
"Oh yeah.
Hey Tom P, you may want to rethink that bait thing."
Oh yeah, no, you're right. I mean, when he spoke, he had this calm, soft, and gentle voice, and that's really when you knew he had this really sweet soul, because he had a really, he wasn't imposing. He didn't project. You had to get close to hear him.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, what a sweetheart of a man, and what a what an icon in fishing.
Sure.
I mean, so he really checked all the boxes, when it came to being in the publishing industry, part of The Fisherman, working with any kind of fisheries group, and making change. A lot of those changes we're all going to benefit from for years and years in the future, and especially again on Long Island. But I think he did touch people even into New Jersey.
Sure. Well, Mike, one of the things I appreciate about Fred always, he always seemed to have time or make time. I had a question or two about where to go with an article or an article idea or a question of fisheries management, and busy as he's was, as he was, like I said, with his hand in many pots, he always seemed to have time or make time for the individual. Not only for me, but I saw I saw it, Mike, across the decades, across hundreds of people. The man was amazing. Just amazing.
No, you're right. And I've seen it firsthand, whether we were on the beach. And I had the luxury of fishing with him many, many times. But you'd be on the beach with him. First of all, he's like, you know, the governor. Everyone knew him.
That's right.
He would stop and chat with everyone. How we ever get, he'd catch all these fish.
Right.
But he'd you know, he'd help the one guy who wasn't catching fish, and he'd give him, like, his last lure, show him how to use it, and then shortly after, this guy would be catching fish. But even in the office, calls would come in, and, you know, we have a large readership. We get a lot of calls. There's a lot of questions to be fielded, but he would spend gobs of time with, you know, a layman and someone new to fishermen and just tell them where to go, what to do, what to have, how to do it, when to be there, blah, blah, blah. He'd have all the answers. See, right, he was about as generous as they came. We really lost a great one here, and, you know, he does have a legacy that I think will, you know, continue, and we'll all learn. One of the biggest things I think we learned from a guy like Fred, it's not like, you know, all the fishing lessons and all the things he taught us about fishing through his articles and seminars and such, but I think, you know, the thing the guy had was a lot of respect for anybody he came across, and, you know, today,
that's right,
today's
Mike,
world, boy, game. I think we all need to respect each other a lot more, and, you know, he was a good example along those lines. You know, he really was, he was interested in, it was bipartisan. Maybe that's the best way to put it.
Mikey, that's perfect. Listen, so we're speaking with Mike Caruso, owner and publisher, president of the Fisherman Magazine. Topic is the October issue. On the cover, Fred Golofaro, 1952-20 to 2021. An amazing man, a loving man, a gentleman, always excited in his subdued way, teaching people, giving some tips, whatever. Like I said, Mike, he asked advice. Yes, Fred was always free with his time, giving time, but he was a tireless worker and totally devoted to the fishermen. Listen, it's page 3, my friend Fred Golofaro, publisher's log by Michael Caruso. Go online, fisherman.com, subscribe to it, pick up the magazine. You will maybe get a hint of how wonderful Fred Golofaro was by reading Mike's editorial. Mike, that was one of the best things I've ever read. You really put your heart and soul and everything into it, brother.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, that I did. I mean, it was probably the hardest thing I ever wrote.
Had to be, Michael. That had to be.
Yeah. Well, God bless his soul. He's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, do we have time for a quick story?
Sure.
So there was one time where the owner of the Fisherman at the time, his daughter was getting married, and we were out in Montauk, and we're at this really fine venue, Gurney's. And Gurney's is right on the beach, and that morning before the wedding reception, we were all on the beach. The fish were, we were surf fishing, and there were 30-pound bass, and this is quite a few years back. Well, anyway, that pod of fish was moving down the beach toward where Gurney's was, where the wedding was, and we're all in suits on the veranda having cocktails. Fred's in his suit, and, you know, he started getting itchy because those birds came closer and closer until they were right in front. And the owner of the Fisherman gave him the nod to go down there and start catching some of these fish. So he went to his truck, picked up his 11-foot rod, walked out to the beach with his suit, took his shoes off, and the guy started catching 30-pound fish in front of every one of us as we're sipping cocktails. What a scene it was.
Well, this is vintage Fred Golofaro. Mike, thanks for sharing that with us. We're about to close out the show. Mike, do me a favor. Give the Fisherman website, please, and get a plug in. This is the Bible of fishing, the Northeast, the Fisherman Magazine, and also the Mid-Atlantic region. Go, Mike.
Yeah. Well, it's thefisherman.com, and, you know, thank you, Tom. And, you know, it's my sympathies to those out there who knew Fred and are feeling some pain. And, you know, Godspeed to everybody. And there is also a memorial service tomorrow. Well, today, it was Saturday, here on Long Island, Robert Moses Beach, Field 4 at 1 o'clock.
Okay, Mike, you take care. Godspeed, brother, to Fred, and Godspeed to you. I hope to see you soon, Mike. Take care.
Thank you, Tom.
See you later, man. Bye. That'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders. God bless law enforcement. See you next week, Rack and Fin Radio.
95.5 FM and